Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. I just took a little peek outside. If you're watching on a video, there is like so much fun weather happening today. Anyway, it's a fun day. I chose to do two shows about love languages and sandwich them around Valentine's Day. So this is what you guys are getting. You guys are getting the sandwich show. You got the before Valentine's Day show that was about the shadow aspects of the love languages, along with shadow aspects of the commitment stuff. And I gotta say, guys, I was actually like listening to myself thinking, damn, I'm fascinated. I can be fascinating at times. My brain is interesting. Cool. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot, actually. I hope you guys did too. And so I wanted to add more. So in that last episode, what I had mentioned was during my sex and intimacy training, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe it was about referencing the five love languages. It could have been the five different touches. But anyways, at some point, my brain said there's probably more love languages that we haven't discussed. And it's not those love languages that people talk about, like, my love language is ice cream. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a whole way of being. So we will dive into that. Before we totally dive in, though, I want to remind you guys why you're here. You're here because it's the Pleasure Zone, where we talk about bodies and intimacy, and we talk about all things to do with pleasure and love and relationships and the history, the mystery, the, you know, things that are psychological, anthropological, sociological. We dive in because it's what I do. And I have to say, it's funny that it's what I do, because when I went into university for psychology, the first year, I really thought I'm using this as a stepping stone to get out of this and get into veterinary medicine. And somehow I just kept going. And I kept going. And I was like, what am I, like, why? It was not my first choice, guys. I have to say, like, working with people wasn't my first choice as a teenager. I definitely would have preferred to be like having to deal with dogs with diarrhea than human beings and their emotional stuff. And part of the reason was that I would have people randomly come up to me, even as a teenager, and just give me their, like, they would trauma dump on me. And I was like, whoa. And I just didn't know how to navigate it. I'd have like complete strangers on buses walking around. It happened all the time. And Ziva, if you guys don't remember Ziva, Ziva's been on the show. Ziva's my child. Ziva has pointed out that's like, we can't go anywhere publicly without somebody giving me their trauma story. It's just what happens in my life. And I get it now, but I also now have tools to navigate that. And part of that comes from, you know, part of that comes from the fact that in university, I did do that background in psychology. And then I further went on to actually learn how to work with people in a different way, rather than labeling them and becoming a psychologist and then trying to have to evaluate what their situation was. I learned tools to help them get through trauma, which to me is at the core of almost everything going on in so many ways. If we looked at, you know, the whole DSM, which is the diagnostic tool for psychological issues, we could probably trace 99% or more back to that, and trace a lot more of it back to maybe chemical imbalances as well. Chemical imbalances that are not from trauma, but maybe from exposure. So Those, I think I could categorize things that way quite easily. I'm not going to rewrite the DSM, but I do know people who have been looking at this, and that there is a sort of consensus with quite a few people that would agree on that. So that's a whole side note. Why I talk about this stuff, though, is through my practice as a sex and intimacy coach. Actually, through my practice as a holistic health practitioner, I started to realize that people really needed a whole bunch of assistance when it came to their relationships, because the relationships were fundamentally creating a lot of stress for them. And that was creating a lot of health issues. So if we can deal with the things in the home, whether it's what you're, whether you have toxic exposure through the soaps you're using, or what the food you're eating, or whether it's toxic environment with people, then we need to know how to deal with all of that. And as a holistic health practitioner, I look at all of that. So what are you exposed to? How frequently, and what can we do to change it? And so, as I started to study that, I started to, as I, as I developed my practice and the more people came, I started to really realize the value of the sex and intimacy coaching just intertwines with what I do. And part of that training, I started to see that the five love languages are fantastic. They're fundamental and they're a really great base, but I also feel like there's more. And I think I did a show a while ago on like the five love languages as like the kink, the it's like I took them and I made them kinky. And then I thought, okay, well, we could do that. I don't know, I'm always coming up with new ideas. We could do that, or we could add. So what if we added to the five love languages? What if we added eroticism? Wow. What if we added eroticism to the five love languages? Now that develops a whole other nuance, doesn't it? It adds depth. It adds depth to touch, because touch in the five love languages is not about sex. Somewhere in the umbrella, some people would say that that is what it is, but it really has to do with touch to create connection. And it's even more deep than that. But you can go read Gary Chapman's thoughts on that. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the additional things we could add to the five love languages that I think really they add something else, right? So I know lots of people who are in relationships who are like, well, I know my partner loves me, but what I don't feel is desired. Do you see and feel the difference there? It's like, yes, I'm loved, but am I desired? Being desired is delicious. I don't know what else to say about that. When somebody desires you, and their whole being turns on just by being in your presence, and they're wowed, almost in a energetic, mystical way, that their whole like essence is alive in your presence. That's like, to me, how I would kind of describe eroticism. Eroticism is like waking up the erotic. Anything with an ism on it is the active practice of. So pr actively practicing being erotic is eroticism. So actively practicing eroticism is, what would that look like if you added eroticism to your own life? Would you walk different? Would you feel different? I know when I tap into like what it feels like to be erotic, I might get silly and playful and fun in my sort of erotic ways, but at the same time, the laughter does make my husband like it engages him. I'll give you that much. I'll give you an example, because so the other day, it was maybe a bit a while ago now, about a week ago, I was at a place and I was Greek dancing. I love Balkan dancing. Greece doesn't necessarily consider themselves the Balkans, but I'm going to throw the Greeks in there because they're brothers and sisters. And so we were Greek dancing, and then my body got in the groove, and my brain still, days later, still has like classic Greek folk music running through it, as if I'm Greek, as if I know what the words mean. I'm not Greek, guys, but as if I know what these words mean in my and my brain is like running this. So I'm like walking around, dancing around the house, doing my moves, and it's definitely making my husband laugh. But that's for me part of how I bring in the I bring it in as more like erotic play. Some people are more serious with their eroticism, but either way, so if we took that eroticism as an umbrella, right, and we look at it as how there can be different erotic ways to be, we could look at eroticism versus emotional affection. We can look at spontaneity versus just like things like setting dates or being responsive to whatever is going on, but not in the way that like spontaneity can be responsive in like, hey, do you want to go somewhere? Yes, that's like responsive. However, we're talking more about just, I would say, it's a better word for that. It would be obligation. So spontaneity versus obligation. And then looking at things too under eroticism, like fantasy and playfulness, and even things like polarity. So polarity can be where you're playing the roles of dom and sub in all different ways, right? So polarity of that can add a lot of eroticism where one partner is in the mode of surrender and the other partner is in the mode of leader. That can be so absolutely erotic. And if you look at that from the love languages, it doesn't necessarily fit any of the categories. You know, you might go, well, is that quality time? Well, under the quality time that's described in Gary Chapman's initial work, I wouldn't really say that it is. But I don't know if he's done further work. I'd have to check that out to see it. I don't know. Do you guys know if he's done further work that looks at the addition of eroticism and presence? That's another one. Presence versus quality time, which is definitely different. And safety. Like if you feel safe with somebody, then all of a sudden your nervous system is okay with them, and then possibilities are so open. So, eroticism, the active, it's the active practice of being erotic. So here's a question to you. How do you actively practice being erotic? Do you do it solo? Do you do it solo for you so that you feel erotic in your own life? Are you like belly dancing for you? I'm just throwing that out there because belly dancing is so highly erotic. Are you know, when you go to put lotion on your body, do you just slap it on or do you make it super sexy and like actually feel your body the way you would want a lover to feel your body? Do you make like your everyday just feel super sexy? I know that even me, guys, even me, the, you know, pleasure diva. Even me, I could add more of those practices into my life. And just randomly now, spontaneously, because spontaneity, it can be so sexy. Random spontaneity here. For those of you who actually would want to be part of a daily practice ritual of how to add more eroticism to your life, let me know. If I get enough response, I will create something that will be like emailed out to you guys on a regular basis, like weekly or yeah, something. I can create something. Let me know if you want to know about how to add more eroticism to your life and whether it's personal or with other people. I think it could be fun, guys. Anyway, that's just my spontaneous thought. And since I'm live, I can't renege on that. Like, it's not going to be edited. So, and, you know, jump on that opportunity. How do you jump on that opportunity is actually write to me. So you can find me through my website, militsayelenich.com. That's for those of you only doing audio, that's MILICA JELENIC.com. Just go send me an email. Be like, you know what? Heard about your erotic thing. Title it erotic emails. That's even more fun. Erotic emails. I'm probably not going to write like erotic emails, but I'll give you erotic tips. Erotic tips, even more fun. I love that. Just like it's so erotic to have the tip and more. Anyhow, I'm actually just like laughing with myself right now. Luckily, I have a producer that's probably like listening right now, going, "Oh boy, here she goes." But it's me, and I sometimes laugh and play with myself. So there you go. I'm gonna head to my first commercial break. We're gonna talk more about how the five love languages aren't enough. We're probably gonna talk more about eroticism and then presence and safety after that. So come on back. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Where are you guys listening to me these days? I'm curious. I get numbers. I get like feedback and numbers and stats and stuff, but not from all of the networks. So, I mean, I get it from Inspired Choices Network, but also we look at certain stats on different streaming services. But what I'd love to know is, are you listening to me on iTunes? Because if you're not, kids, go over to iTunes and then go search the Pleasure Zone and then go 5-star me because you love me, right? That's why. And because I give out such valuable tidbits. But yeah, I'd love that if you could go do that. It would, you have no idea how valuable these things are to me. It's not really about me feeling like an ego boost. It's really about helping my algorithms. And that is what I'm really hoping to be able to boost my algorithms. Guys, I've been at this 11 years. And truly, frankly, I don't know why I haven't gone viral. I'm adorable. I'm hilarious. I'm educational. So please assist. I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right. So, shameful promotions there. That's what I do. No, actually, I don't. I'm not really good at shameful promotions, but I'm going to be. I'm going to get better at it because that's just the way things are going. All right. So we're talking about the five love languages and how five just isn't enough. Five just isn't enough. So how many more love languages could we have? So many more, but let's start with three more. And the three more that I was feeling about was throwing it in as an erotic energy, which to me also umbrellas. It umbrellas a few things. It'll umbrella all the kink. That's where the erotic energy is as well. It will umbrella all the ways you feel desired, right? So under that umbrella of eroticism is all of the play that has to do with pleasure. You know, we could call it the ple maybe the pleasure love language, the pleasure zone love language. But I think under the pleasure zone love languages, three of them would be things like eroticism, presence, and safety, because I talk about that stuff all the time. I talk about communication, which is part of presence. I talk about consent, which is part of safety, and curiosity, which is part of eroticism. So we're just kind of giving some new words so you guys don't get bored listening to me talk about the multiple C's all the time. So, breathe, be with you. I'm here with you guys. Hi. So one of the reasons we want to look at eroticism is because so many people can know and feel loved in a relationship, but they just don't feel desired. And if you're one of those, I mean, hands up, guys, like how many of you might feel like, you know, I know I'm loved, but I don't feel desired. And there's something so absolutely important about feeling desired. And sometimes it takes having the conversations that will help educate your partner, help educate yourself to start to know that eroticism and feeling desired is integral. It's what keeps the relationship alive. Do you still need the five love languages? Absolutely. Can we add to them? Absolutely. Let's add eroticism to the pile. So, how many people out there, even if you're asexual, enjoy eroticism? So I think there's a misunderstanding too with people who are asexual that they don't really enjoy anything sexual, and that's not true at all. It's just different. So the eroticism can still be there. So under the erotic umbrella, eroticism. Cool. Let's look at the, yeah, so I mentioned like some comparisons. Let's look at erotic energy versus versus, I don't know where I came up with that word. My lips are doing things today. So erotic energy versus emotional affection. So erotic energy would be where, oh, how do I describe it? It's a thing that you be, right? So it's like when your body has been pumped up, when you're feeling the rev inside of you and you feel like your partner could be the prey and you're the hunter and you just want to like leap on them and pleasure the crap out of them. That can be some kind of erotic energy. I don't know if I'm describing that well. I'm describing myself is what I'm doing. I'm describing what I do. So hope that helps you guys. Eroticism is also where you invite you, there's a leaping and there's me being silly and playful and dancing around like an idiot. There's so eroticism can come in many different forms for sure. And to bring the eroticism in and have your partner reciprocate, right? So it's one thing if you're the one always being the bringer, the gifter. Gifting is great, receiving is even better, but we will look at like why is it that there is such a disparity there? And how we have such a misunderstanding around that. Why do we think we need to give? Giving is better than receiving. These are one of the topics that I first talked about on the Pleasure Zone like 11 years ago. And we're just tapping back into some of that right now. So erotic energy, that round. How else do we name it except for to make that noise, round, like a kitten about to leap. An emotional affection is very different. Emotional affection is what you could give to a child. You're not going to give erotic energy to a child unless you're an asshole. And maybe you're on the Epstein files. I don't know. And so then you might try to do that, but then it's not erotic. It's, you might think it's erotic, but it's actually just abuse. Anyway, emotional affection is when you can hug or you can in a way that isn't sexual. So emotional affection takes the sexual energy out. Erotic energy throws the sexual energy in. And that can be coming like your loins are on fire, not from infection, from absolute pleasure. So you don't want your loins to be on fire from infection, kids. You want them to be on fire from desire. On fire, I'm on fire from desire. There's a t-shirt there. I'm on fire from desire. I know exactly who's getting that for their birthday on July 17th this year. Just putting that out there. So you're welcome. You already know, you've already heard. So emotional affection is what we can give to cats and animals, and it's not sexual, right? For those of you who are thinking, give it to cats, wow, that's sexual. No, it's not, kids. That is not consensual. So emotional affection is how we just connect with each other, where we can hold a hug. If somebody needs their hand held while they're crying, that's emotional affection. And then we can look at spontaneity versus obligation. We'll do that. So spontaneity is great. It still requires consent, right? So even when you're feeling spontaneous and you want to like leap on your partner, like you're the hunter, they're the prey, it still requires consent from the person that you're leaping on, right? So it's always good to ask, you know, are you ready for this? Or you might want to tell them what's going to happen. Sometimes telling them what's going to happen can be extremely erotic. Just even giving the words of that helps build anticipation. Even if it's like, even if it's a weird spontaneous in that it's a planned spontaneity, because my husband is so a planned spontaneous kind of guy. His spontaneity needs to happen about 24 hours to 48 hours in advance. But if I say to him, hey, what's happening for you on this particular day, could be the next day, he might be like, oh, well then. And then for 24 hours, he's ruminating and it's building. He's ruminating. It gets him creative. And that is super fun and playful and helpful. If I just like leaped on him, he's more like demisexual, my husband. So he wouldn't be good with that, but he needs like the buildup. And so spontaneity in your own way doesn't mean spontaneity in the way of let's go to the moon today. Yeah, that's super spontaneous, but can you pull it off? Can't pull off going to the moon today. There's a lot of factors involved. Can you be spontaneous in a way that is like you had a spontaneous idea and maybe it's not happening this second, but it could be happening in a day. But for some people, spontaneity that's like right now, right here, right now, absolutely works. And it's super sexy when it can work like that, but it doesn't always work for everyone. So you can play with spontaneity in their own way of being able to navigate spontaneity, which isn't necessarily like the intensity of right now always. And when we talked a little bit about the fantasy and polarity, fantasy is fantastic. It brings in all the creativity and play and curiosity. So bring in that fantasy, especially around, you know, polarity play, where you could have, you know, doms and subs, and one person gets to surrender and the other person gets to be more taken charge. Like it can be so good. And then also just being turned on. Just being turned on with not having to do anything, that can be intensely sexy and totally erotic. The kind of being turned on but having to withhold because maybe you have your teenager in the house all the freaking time. I love my teenager. And sometimes there's no spontaneity, but there you go. So we're going to talk to, I'm almost at my next break. So we will in the next segment talk about safety as a love language. And we're going to talk about emotional safety as it's so fundamental and it's like a prerequisite for intimacy. So we're going to talk about emotional safety. We're going to talk about how you can regulate your nervous system. And then your partner also regulates your nervous system, which is called co-regulation. And then we're also going to talk about just feeling like you're seen, heard, respected, all that's important, being believed, being feeling safe, protected, and that your emotional needs are met. So we're going to dive more into those. So we're going to head to the pleasure zone. We're on the pleasure zone. Where are we heading? We're heading to our next commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. That's you guys. You're the pleasure seekers. Because why? Because you're here in the pleasure zone seeking pleasure in different ways. And today we're talking about how the five love languages, they're great, they're good, they're fundamentals. We like them. Last week we talked about the shadow aspects of them, shadow, like how they can go shadow on us. And now we're talking about adding to them. So we're talking about eroticism and presence. So this next little segment is going to be on presence compared to quality time, right? So in the five love languages, quality time is one thing, and you would think that presence is part of it. Presence is kind of touched on, that quality time needs to be where you truly are with your partner, but there can be even more to it than that. So quality time, usually what people do is they carve out time somehow, like intentionally or unintentionally, where they will maybe do something together. It's not usually involving TV or movies, unless you're people who end up having conversations based on those TVs and movies that actually it sparks conversation. That can be a little bit different, where it can work in those scenarios. But if you're just zoned out and not connected, then that's not the idea, because that lacks presence. So adding presence, and I apologize, Gary Chapman, if you actually meant that presence should be in there as a form of quality time, but I feel like it's different anyway, because presence to me is where it's like completely undivided attention, and it's like you're in the zone with the other person. It's just like you and them are the only things that exist. Or maybe there's five of you lovers together, but there's, you're having an orgy and you guys are the only ones who exist. I've never had an orgy, guys, but because orgy is five or more. I haven't had an orgy yet in this life. I don't know if I will. Anyway, part of presence is also learning how to be in the moment, to be able to do things like reparations, repair situations where maybe there's been conflict and you need to be able to be present with the person in order to hear them out, in order to create resolution, in order for you to be heard and create resolution. So presence takes a lot of skill, because a lot of times what happens, you might love the person, but you know, when conflict arises, or there might be something where an issue needs to be resolved, it can often lead to you know, one or both individuals having their back up against the wall. They might feel blamed or shamed, or they might feel like it's like they might also be out of ideas. So the fear kicks in, and that turns the fight or flight on, and then the fight happens. So we want to be able to learn how to not do that. And presence can be incredibly helpful in that. So I can use an example of a conversation I had today. I won't name the name. It was on phone, and the person wasn't really understanding the situation that was going on in their life. And I had to get really clear and get really present, and then just acknowledge their feelings and say, like, I hear you, and I hear the fear in your voice, and I hear what's going on with you, and I need you to be able to understand your situation so that we can create resolution. So sometimes getting extremely present, where what I could have done was like, you know, it's not my fault that you're in this freaking situation. You created this. Like, I could go there and could be like, you know what? You screwed yourself, and it's not on me. It's on you. I could have said that. I could have said that to many, many times in my life to this person, but I didn't. And so instead, there was need for repair, understanding. And so this is what I created, right? And if one individual at least has the know-how how to do that, how to get present, what happens when you get super present with a person? They will either get so uncomfortable that they like disconnect from themselves. There's more of a word that people are using these days, but I'm going to say disconnect. They'll like kind of like zip out of their body. Or what happens is you get present and they get intensely present with you. They are up for that. Their trust in that moment that, okay, you're present. I can be present with you. Oh, I'm actually safe. This presence helps for that whole safety part that we're going to talk about in the next segment. So when we look at too with presence, this, like, you know, we're looking at presence and we're looking at receiving and we're looking at repairing with this. So your presence can lead to having repair during conflict. Your presence is receiving the other person and receiving yourself at the same time. And then your presence in receiving that person will create them to be present in order to receive you. And then the reciprocity can actually change a lot of energy that might have been originally conflict-based, but then it becomes resolution-based. So being present will lead you to be able to hear the other person, where they're at, what's going on. It might even lead to the other person apologizing, which is wild. I just had it happen today. I think for the first time in my entire life, I had an apology from this particular person, and an acknowledgement that maybe I knew what I was talking about in that moment. So apologies are part of acknowledging where maybe you weren't the most right. And apologies need to be, for one thing, apologies just can't be like, I'm sorry. They can't be just something that you say. They have to be something felt. And in order to feel an apology, you need to be present. And you need to also identify what you know you did that needs apologies for, whether it's an action you did, something you said, whether it was whatever it is you're apologizing for, but you also need to state how you are going to repair it. So taking apologies only work when you take accountability and then you find a way to clean up the mess. And it's not up to the person you're apologizing to tell you how to clean the mess up. It's up to you to figure out how to clean up the mess. And if that isn't satisfactory, then they can tell you, but it's up to you first to come up with an idea. I find that what often happens is somebody will get hurt and then they think, well, they didn't tell me what to do to make it better. Well, you come up with an idea first, and if that doesn't work, then they can say, you know, okay, you tried to repair it by doing a different action, which would have been okay, but it's not really, it didn't really feel like it matched the apology. So maybe try, you know what I actually need is this. I wouldn't leave it to the people that you're apologizing to first to come up with the solution. I would leave it to you, the apologizer, to come up with the solution and to listen if that solution isn't sufficient. Oh, I could go political on that around reparations, but it's yeah, I think our government's made a huge mess around reparations, but that's just a thought for another day. So we also look at why is receiving so hard? Like, why is even receiving an apology hard? Why is receiving somebody's presence so hard? And all I know for sure is that it's because, well, number one, we have so much trauma, we don't know what to do with it. Number two, we have been in, it's been ingrained in us, basically taught from childhood, that we're supposed to do and give to others. I don't know about you, but I was super trained in do, give. And it's not just because I'm, you know, born female. It's not that, but that it is something that is generally taught to people born female, because that's the, or AFAB, assigned female at birth, because they, it's an expectation, a societal expectation that as a female, I'm going to just use that as like a biological term, as a female, you're supposed to look after others and you're supposed to give, give harder, give more, give better, do for others. And that is where you find your value. It's not true. So these are things that have been societally ingrained in us. And so to receive, because do and give are, you know, the prime ways to prove your worth, then to receive is where then all of a sudden, where's your worth? If you're receiving, it's like, oh, well, I can't be worthy if I'm receiving. If I'm receiving, that means I'm nothing. And trust me, this is cross-cultural. This is, it's strangely cross-cultural. Almost every culture works on this concept. I do think there are a few where it doesn't, but I can't think of them right now. So we're just going to go with majority of the world believes that giving is better than receiving. However, receiving is part of being present. Giving can be too. Even giving pleasure when you're present is far greater than, and receiving pleasure from somebody who's present is far greater than, you know, somebody kind of being not fully there and kind of giving pleasure. I don't know. It's not as fun. So presence as an important love language, and to distinguish it from quality time. And pleasure can really begin, and this is from like years ago, guys, but pleasure can really begin when you are willing to receive. That's a bit of a surrender, right? And it requires your presence in order to have pleasure, to be willing to receive. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a few other tips and tricks and tools on, you know, what we can do for adding to those love languages. So listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. And I'm your host, Milica Jelinic.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Have you, and I asked you guys this in the second segment, but I'm going to ask you again, have you headed over to iTunes and searched the Pleasure Zone up? Because if you have, fantastic. When you searched it, did you give me a 5-star review? Because that would be great. I don't ask for money to do this show. I do pay for production costs, and what would be really, really helpful for you guys to help keep this going is to get the algorithms boosted, and that will actually be able to help in different ways. So I would more than greatly appreciate this. So Coolio Schoolio, we're talking about adding to our love languages, and I mentioned presence in the last segment. Talked a bit about, you know what we didn't talk about? Didn't really, I kind of touched on safety and the importance of safety. We talked about eroticism, but one of the things we need to kind of tap into more is more of like, why is safety so important? And I've actually worked with several couples who have, one of their greatest problems was they were like, well, I think my partner loves me, but I don't feel safe. And so some of the love languages were being delivered, but not really consistently. So there was like a lack of trust there. And that lack of trust had them not really feel safe in the relationship. Like your partner could run away at any time, so you don't really feel safe, or you don't really know that they're going to be there for you. That also can be hard. So I did kind of tap into this, but I really want to like emphasize how important safety is. And one of the things to ask is, and you know, in working with yourself, is to get yourself to relax, to create regulation in your own nervous system, and then have your partner regulate their nervous system so you can create co-regulation. I'm going to give you guys a little brief on this, but I don't think I gave you like a full lowdown. It's a funny show. My brain is like clearing as I talk. So anyway, if you have emotional safety, what ends up happening? And you have like your environment feels safe. You feel like you can talk to your partner about anything. What happens is that now you can talk about anything. So you can even request things under the erotic umbrella. You can be, you're safe, so you feel present. You can be more present with your partner without zipping out, like often happens with people. Even if one partner is present and the other one, you know, is disconnected. But if you feel safe, you can also connect, and you can have yourself be in this, in that safe space. And what happens then is the more present you are, the more your partner can feel like, or both of you can feel more open to talk about things. And then the trust is bigger. So you believe each other. You feel like you would probably, you feel probably protected by your partner, but also that you would protect your partner. So you're a team. And then there's also like the feeling that when there's safety, that your emotional needs are met. So how do you do that? And how do you actually create a space where your body is relaxed enough to feel like you're co-regulating? How do you co-regulate? I'm going to give you some tips on co-regulation and why it's so important to be safe. So when you, if you've been with somebody who's ever been through trauma, and their number one thing is they need to feel safe, especially people who have gone through sexual traumas, they need to feel safe. They might know you love them, and they might feel like, yeah, it all makes sense that you love me. You say it all the time, but they might have unresolved stuff that no matter where they go, they don't feel safe. So to be able to learn how to feel safe in different spaces or know where danger is important. And we've talked about this a lot on different episodes. But knowing how to do that, knowing how to create a sort of safety with your partner, and you can do that through different energetic ways, breath work. You can do it through, we'll call it like somatic love. I don't even know if that's like a term that's being used, but we're going to throw it out there, somatic love. So one of the things that we're gonna do is, and it's a lot of the things that we've talked about before, like eye contact. And some people aren't comfortable with eye contact, so you don't have to do eye contact, but you can do breathing together. And often, I haven't had anybody ever say that they're not comfortable with breathing with the other person, but I have had people say that they're very uncomfortable looking other people in the eyes, and usually they're people who are neurodivergent. Who are like, yeah, I can't do that. It makes me feel like cringy and uncomfortable. Cool. You don't have to do it because you might actually be so hyper aware and sensitive that you pick up so much looking at somebody's eyes that you'd rather tone it down a bit so that you're not overstimulated. So breathing together can be a really good one. And I'd aim for deep breaths where you actually feel the breath go like when you're breathing in through your nose, that you feel your belly moving up and down. And that it's like you can also feel the breath go right into the base of your spine, and then allowing that to breathe out, and but doing it together so that you're in tandem. Do it really slow and do it really diligently. That can help with that can really help with presence and safety. It can create a safe environment. If you're both breathing the same and you're breathing deep and low and you're feeling connected, it's very different than if you're both breathing high, like you're on high alert and somebody's got an anxiety attack going on and you're both now having anxiety breathing. That will not create that sense of safety. It's going to create a sense of alert or fear and make make the presence will be killed, and all of a sudden everybody is like in their heads or trying to run away. They're very uncomfortable. So we want to make these experiences with safety be like, don't really have a goal with them. They're not about like giving the person an orgasm. They're not about giving somebody, the best presence they've ever experienced or the most erotic experience they've ever had. We want to make all these three umbrellas that we've talked about today, the, eroticism and presence and safety, we want to make them not goal-oriented, like as if it's like, oh, we got the most safe we ever got, like as if there's a chart or a comparison. That's not what it is. Just notice if you feel safe or you don't feel safe, and then what you can do to change it. So I think a really fun thing to kind of end on, and something to ask yourself, is, a lot of times people are like, what's your love language? So instead of asking what's your love language, maybe we could, I mean, you could still ask that, but because we all have all of them, frankly, in different degrees, and we have primary and secondary ones. But let's ask things like, what helps you feel safe? What helps you feel desired? What helps you feel more vulnerable to be like open to have discussions, for your body to feel open, for your mind to feel open? What helps you open up? Doesn't that sound kind of delightful?
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.